This is the Insecurity Brief podcast. It features tech news and analysis throughout the world. This podcast is made possible through advertising and listeners like you. If you can't donate, please share this program. We depend on you.
Today is Tuesday. We're recording this the night before or something like that. If you could please share this on whatever medium you're receiving it on, we are everywhere that we can possibly be in all formats. This time, Polycom Network money returned. Proton Mail logs IP addresses. And fools actually believe SMS is safe.
In some happier news for cybersecurity, there was a return of the, would have been the largest theft of funds in history, $610 million stolen from the DeFi platform of Poly Network. This happened last week, and Poly Networks had a breach by an attacker. They lost $610 million stolen worth of cryptocurrency, and they were going nuts. They were sending the hacker, threatening him with law enforcement, but they also put out this letter called Dear Hacker and posted it on Twitter. Now, the memes were hysterical of other people responding to this Dear Hacker letter, which was a letter from Poly Networks begging the hacker to return the funds. So the memes were incredible, of like sad faces with the Dear Hacker hashtag, and just people just in shock that a full corporate security network would be trying to resolve their issue with a Dear Hacker letter, as if that would work. But actually, it did work, because the hacker, who they have dubbed Mr. White Hat, actually did return the money. He did this in exchange for being given a job as chief security advisor with Poly Network. So the guy got a job, or girl, whoever, got a job. But it would have been a terrible amount of money lost. So this article was posted on ThreatPost by Becky Bracken, where it discusses that the money was returned in different phases, and the Poly Network successfully had returned Ethereum, Bitcoin, and other denominations of cryptocurrency. And they quote, "At this point, all the user assets that were transferred out during the incident have been fully recovered, thanks to Mr. White Hat's cooperation." So CNN also had posted the cryptocurrency story in an article, "600 million gone, the biggest crypto theft in history," by Brian Fung, on August 12th. And they discuss how there was a vulnerability in the Poly Network that allowed the thieves to make off with the funds, and was a very large amount. But Poly Network had contacted different members of the cryptocurrency ecosystem, and they were freezing the assets. They were watching the assets so they couldn't be transferred away. They're very, very lucky. They with the cooperation from the cryptocurrency ecosystem members, they essentially were able to freeze the assets so that they would be unusable, because any transaction would be traced because it is on the blockchain. I mean, if this attacker was a little bit more malicious, if he was a black hat and not a white hat, as they are calling him, he could have transferred the money to a Tumblr, which could have mixed in the crooked coin with legitimate coin and legitimate transactions and tumbled the money and sent it through several Tumblrs. And actually that would have, it could have been more likely unretrievable then. But there are some tricks that security guys can do to try and trace cryptocurrency that is stolen. Although it's very hard. It really is quite hard. So good luck to them. And they quote on CNN saying, "With the inherent transparency of blockchains and the eyes of an industry on you, how could any cryptocurrency hacker expect to escape with such a large cache of stolen funds?" Yeah, they could tumble it. He could have tumbled it, okay? But in this case, it turned into a happy ending because their Dear Hacker letter actually worked, and the hacker returned the money. The hacker was quoted as saying that he just wanted to prove that there were vulnerabilities in the DeFi platform, and that he just took the attack as a challenge, and he wanted to expose the vulnerabilities before an insider or a malicious hacker exposed it and actually stole the funds, which is the attitude of lots of white hats, I guess. So that story is a happy ending.
Proton Mail logged the IP addresses of French activists after order by Swiss authorities. This story came out in TechCrunch on September 6th, but the ramifications of this are much larger. And this is the thing about all forms of email that's out there, and that's this. Proton Mail acts like it's super encrypted or whatever. It's a website. So when you visit this site, one of the problems with this piece of crap is it requires Java in order to open it. It's a Java app, or at least it used to be a Java app. I haven't been on it in a long time. I don't use it because I find it just stupid. I mean, really, when you think about it, when you...
Yeah, I stopped using and they got compromised.
Yeah, they got compromised. And the thing is, let's just talk about the encryption side of things really quick. When you send an email and I send it to your account, I have some kind of client. It gets encrypted between my client and the server itself. And then it's unencrypted at the server, stored in an unencrypted format at the server, sent between server to server in unencrypted format, and then is re-encrypted at your host to send the data back to you. So you get it on your own encrypted session with your own client. And this can be a web server client. It can be using some program, you know, Thunderbird or Mozilla or Outlook on your local device. All of these things, email is not secure at all. I mean, anybody in the back end, and I've been in the back end, I worked in the banking industry for a while. And I've been in the back end. You can see anything, all the traffic in real time. And you just plug in and you can take whatever you want. But there's a bigger point in all this. It is this false flag of people storing data on the, like, Proton Mail server and thinking some layer of protection because they're using, everything is encrypted on their system. Encryption is just overused. But let's talk about this SMS stuff, because these the U.S. government has released a guideline saying that you need third
2FA?
What's that?
2FA?
Yeah, 2FA. And 2FA is supposedly your cell phone, but you can, you know, I love it when people wonder about when Jack Dorsey got hacked on Twitter.
You can bypass 2FA. It is possible. A skilled attacker can bypass 2FA.
It's a lot easier than a skilled attacker. I mean, you can basically, on the cellular network, you can spoof any device if you're on the same tower. That's been that way forever. So if you are local to the person that you're attacking, you can actually clone their device. Going from tower to tower, it gets a lot difficult because the tower doesn't know how to forward the transaction, and it gets lost by the way that security was implemented in the cellular industry. But the security on all of this stuff with SMS, you know, this is a thing that a lot of people don't think about, is that the White House, in an effort with the major telcos, are now going through cell phones. And by the way, you know, this story is wrong, and it's wrong in a whole bunch of different ways. Because first, the act of going through everybody's cell phone to look at your text messages is not done by the White House. Okay, there's not some clerk that's sitting in a basement going through everybody's cell phone data. And it's certainly not the telecommunication carriers going through all of your text messages to see if you've been sending some kind of COVID information. This is a third party, some corporation, that is snagging everybody's text messages. That means from every carrier, they are now going through every single text message you have, indexing every text message you have, and for what end? Right now, it's COVID. Soon, it'll be, I don't know, voter data. Let's see if you agree with any particular school board appointee. You want to set up meetings with other people. SMS, 2FA, SMS just became a real liability. And by the way, you know, the one thing about every collection of data that's out there, the one thing that happens to every single time anybody makes a collection of data is they get hacked.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, and by the way, if you, you know, if you don't understand what the impact of this is going to be, of making a total dependence on 2FA for everything we do, it's really to pinpoint where we're at. I use Twilio and some other third parties. I also use Alphabet's Google for some things.
Google Fi?
Well, I use the Google SMS thing, so that the 2FA gets bounced all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, just recently, I had to test a family member for COVID, and we went to a free testing site, and in order to get the free testing, we had to give a whole bunch of personal and medical information, and then I got the results of the test. And then the next day, I get a text message from a completely different company, and my data was shared with them, and they were sending me text messages.
Yeah. And this, the thing about the so-called HIPAA rules are getting violated completely across the line by major corporations. So we've thrown that one out the window. So you're listening to the Insecurity Brief podcast. I'm Tripp.
I'm Honey.
And we'll catch you next time.